Good day and welcome to the Business Success Network podcast. I'm Stacey Calder, founder of the Business Success Network and magazine, and we help you to grow you and grow your business. We want to get you as visible as possible online, offline, and through events such as networking, awards, and conferences. If you're sitting here and listening to this and thinking this is a great show, we are looking for guests to be part of it. We want to hear your story and we want to share your information with the public. We want you to be as visible as possible. So join us over at the Business Success Network UK on Facebook, join the community, get the support, become a cheerleader for other small businesses, and we'll see you very soon. Hey everybody, I'm Stacey Calder from the Business Success Network and magazine, and also the Business Success podcast, which is where you're listening to us today. I'm so excited to introduce this new mini series, which is all about charities and businesses and how they can work together. So I'm going to hand you over now to Dom. Dom is the community leader for our charities group. So I'm going to hand you over to Dom, who's going to introduce himself, his business, and a little bit more about the community.
Thanks, Stacey. Hi, everyone. Yeah, I'm Dom Fenton, the Activity Connector and also the lead for the charities community. So as an Activity Connector, what I do, I work with education businesses, I work with schools, and I also work with charities. I work for a national charity at the moment called Panathlon, running sports events for children with special needs, and also work with a number of other charities, just looking at how we can work with them and support them in what their missions are. So the charity itself, basically we wanted to bring a community together where charities can support each other, we can give advice out to charities as well, and we can just build a safe place for charities to come on board, say what they need, and hopefully we can help them provide that. So as the first part of this today, I'd like to bring in Jill, and Jill will also introduce herself and what she does. Morning, Jill.
Morning, Dom. Morning, Stacey.
Hello.
So, yeah, introduce myself. I know you're going to ask a few other questions later, so I don't want to spoil anything. But yeah, so I'm Jill Cleave, have my own business. I'm a first aid training business, Brookvale First Aid, and I also train, or just started to train, mental well-being as well. But I also work for two local charities or Warwickshire-based charities. One is called Escape Arts, which is about bringing people together through creative and cultural activities and support well-being to inspire strong and inclusive, happy communities. And then VASA, which is a community, mainly community transport with volunteer drivers. We've got wheelchair loans and community activities, including dementia daycare and carers. And so it's about bringing those volunteers, getting volunteers in and getting them to, well, just trying to find volunteers, which has been a bit of a struggle recently.
That's amazing. And I said before we went kind of, before we started recording, that you are the ultimate, you know, the phrase of, if you want something, don't ask a busy person, Jill, that's you. And that's, you know, that introduction, you're working with two charities, you've got your own business. That's not all you do though, is it? So let's talk a bit about your background. She's like, because you are like, you're such an amazing person in your community. So let's start by finding out a bit about you, a bit about your background. What led you to, you know, decide to become this, well, volunteer army all by yourself, really?
Well, I mean, volunteering. So the first thing I ever started volunteering was with Girl Guides. And that was back in, 1984, when I became a young leader.
Do you want me to tell you?
I was young. Two. I was still a teenager at that point. What was that?
I was two.
So was I. I was a young leader at two. Yeah, I was 14 at that point. I became a young leader. I'd been in guiding. My mum was my brown owl. So I became became a young leader at 14. And then by the time I was 18, to save a brownie group from closing down, I became an adult leader. So I became Brown Owl at 18. From there, yes. Then obviously I was a guide leader in Canada and in the UK. I've been a leader ever since, bar a couple of years when I had my own little one. And as soon as she was old enough for Rainbows, which is the youngest of the guiding, I got sucked back in. So I do girl guiding. I work or I volunteer with another fantastic local charity called Lifespace Trust, which is a youth charity that supports the well-being of young people that have self-esteem issues, resilience issues, and confidence issue, and it's about getting them to thrive. We've just through Escape Arts and Lifespace, we've just set up a Stratford Youth Collective, which is a brand new charity, bringing five charities together to support young people in the town due to, unfortunately, lack of funding from government. And that's been going on for years. And then, I'm a town councillor for Stratford Town Council, have been since 2019. And I was the mayor of the town last year, 2022 to 2023. I was the 477th mayor.
There you go. See what I mean? If you want to know something that's... Dom's like shaking his head. I told you she's phenomenal, Dom.
I thought I was busy. Blimey. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
I know. But it is, and do you know what? I love it because Jill, we were doing a coffee morning the other morning, and Jill's like, I'm not going to make it, and still manages to make it at the very end just for a quick cuppa and fashionably late is fine because we weren't expecting you at all because you'd already give your, you said sorry, you couldn't make it. But it's definitely, you're such a bridge between the business community and the volunteer community and the charity community. You kind of embody all of that and you're really kind of knowledgeable. So you are the great person to get as our first guest on this mini series. So I'm going to ask you the first kind of question now, if you like, which is how do you think businesses and charities can work best together?
It's really interesting, and Dom will probably be able to back all this up and say it himself. I mean, since the pandemic, it's been a real struggle now to get volunteers because people reassessed how they work, what they do, their personal time became very precious. So it's been really a big struggle. So getting business, it's not always about giving your time. It could be for some giving away, it could be some just acknowledging there's other charities, getting their employees to maybe do a little bit of corporate volunteering, because that's really a big thing. A lot of big companies do that, but they'll give a day a year. But even that, the new youth hub that we've just set up, we had 2 days of corporate volunteering in, and they came in, we had an overgrown back garden, they came and cleared that, they came and painted the youth hub. It was phenomenal. If it had just taken us as the regular volunteers and staff members, it would have taken us forever. They managed to do it in 2 days, absolutely phenomenal. And that's the sort of thing, if businesses could come forward and give those sort of, just a day, and in the grand scheme of things, it's not a lot, it would be amazing.
And that's really key, actually, because, you said there, it's a day out of their whole year, but actually for you guys that are in that charity day in, day out, you've got actual roles that you need to do, and people don't understand that you haven't got time to go and paint a wall or, the toilets need doing and, whatever it is.
We have done that.
I bet you have. So we're talking kind of CSR days, aren't we? And I know I've spoke to businesses before, and CSR is a bit of a buzzword at the minute with businesses, but sometimes it can be, or it can feel like a bit of a tick box exercise. And so I think it's really key that a business understands what they can get out of a CSR kind of day. So, yes, they're giving their time, but actually there's so much more behind it, isn't there? The actual, if they're giving their time to a charity that, has the same kind of ethics as that, they want to kind of support their ethics and they get involved, then the charity will benefit obviously from not just the time but also the kind of that, we've had these expertise in. And look, it doesn't have to be painting walls and things like that. It could be the finance team are going to come in and have a look at your systems and your processes. It could be absolutely anything, in which case Go on, Jo.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, just before Christmas, one of the other things that Escape Arts does at Christmas, it's called Grotto on the Go, and we deliver presents to children who have been nominated. I do dress as an elf.
You're a Christmas elf as well.
I am a Christmas elf. I have a special elf dress just that hangs in the closet all year round. But we had, I think it was National Grid, they came in for a day and just wrapped a load of presents. For them, it was such a great sense of well-being for them. One, it was fun. They were wrapping presents for children. Who doesn't love that? And they managed to get through it. Again, would have taken us forever. But also knowing that those gifts, and the gifts are donated, so Tesco's, Morrison's, all these, so, you know, and that's another way of corporate social responsibility, is the donations. So all these gifts, and they go out to families that have heartbreaking stories. There was one we delivered to where it was a mum. It was probably her last Christmas. She had five young children. She had cancer. So, you know, when you talk about those stories, you know, wrapping presents doesn't seem like a lot, but the difference it made to Escape Arts as an organisation, but also to those families, was huge. You can't put a price on that.
And I would imagine as well, because I've been in a similar situation with, I used to, you know, have a role in a charity and we used to do shoebox appeals.
Yeah.
And I remember at Christmas, we'd have people like Jaguar Land Rover come in. And there'd be, like you said, packing the shoeboxes, making sure there's no sharps, that kind of thing. And the stories. And then what we, I remember one year, they used to go out and deliver them. So we would fill the boot of the car, we'd give them a list of addresses, they'd go and knock the door and they'd go and play elf and Santa. And I remember one guy came back and went, I've got to go back to this address. And we said, why? He said, they've answered the door with no socks, they've got no socks, they've got no carpet. Oh my God, this is what we've got to do. And so for them, in their quite corporate role, in quite a stable, you know, stable wage, that kind of thing, it was a real eye-opener to them that, hey, this isn't just about us standing here wrapping presents and feeling good. This is about us actually making a difference in the community. And you see, like, individuals from those team groups then suddenly go, okay, I need to know more. Yeah. What can I do? How can I volunteer? And that's where that process then starts. That, you know, they really get into the thick of the charity, don't they?
Absolutely.
But, you know, the charity can give back to the business as well. It's not just a one-way street, is it? So,
no, absolutely.
How do you think businesses can benefit from charities?
Well, a lot of it is, I mean, there's big talk about, obviously, mental well-being these days, especially, and how people are being very much affected by that in all walks of life. Doesn't matter how much money you've got or, you know, any issues you have, everybody, and the pandemic really made that worse. People have, and we talk about mental health, obviously we all have it, we have good days, we have bad days, but I think one of the good things about giving your time, because there's the five pillars to well-being, people talk about that, and it does, volunteering is a big part of that. You know, if you've heard of the five pillars of well-being, you've got step one is connect. What a brilliant way to connect with people, between, you know, companies and charities connecting, and as the stories you've just said made a huge difference. You've got the get active, which is another one. Again, you know, painting, that's a way to get active. Digging out gardens can do that.
Yeah,
you know, take notice, learn. People, like you just said about, people have learned different things about it. And then giving, which is the main one, and what sorts of volunteering is about giving. And so that, and that's, so that well-being sense. So yes, the companies are giving their time to these charities, but the charities, by giving this, are giving those opportunities for well-being. And I think you can't put a price on that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And just with my marketing hat on, you know, let's face it, when a charity promotes the fact that, oh, we've had Joe Bloggs in today and here's a beautiful picture of them painting their mural, that's going out into the local community. That's, you know, that business is there in that local community, in the spotlight. And people are saying, do you know what, that's a really nice company to work for. Or, oh, look, they've done a really good thing. You know, what a great employer, that kind of stuff. So, and even to the point where, you know, I've worked with building companies before and we've put it out on their socials and they're like, oh, you know, didn't think about that. They're doing stuff in the community. We'll use them. And it's amazing what you can get back. There's so many different avenues that people can work together.
100%. We're always tagging the businesses. And I mean, we get businesses that we're having to pay a certain amount, but we get charity discount rates. But it's so important, like you said, yeah, that marketing just makes a huge difference. And suddenly other charities are noticing, and or other organizations, like you said, corporate, you know, that corporate social responsibility makes a huge difference. And if you see that, and also for employees, you know, if I was to go and work for, like you said, a company that had that ethos behind it, I would much prefer to work for them rather than one that just doesn't think about that sort of thing.
Absolutely. And I love the fact that you've brought well-being into this, because the charity environment can be really stressful. Look at you, you're both smiling at me. You both know that I'll be the one to say it if you want. Like, I couldn't believe the stress, the red tape. I remember my husband saying to me, but you're sitting on a laptop in the office. And I'm thinking, no, I've been cooking bacon sandwiches this morning, or I've been down in the men's group because they had no leader. And he's going, you're not a man. You know, it just, it's what you do, isn't it, with a charity? It's a bit like everybody mucks in, we'll get there, because you're all passionate about it, but it can be mega stressful. So I love the fact you've brought in well-being, Jill, and mentioned that, because it is, you know, it's key for both the businesses and for the charity and for the staff and for the volunteers. Do you ever get any time to look after your well-being?
No. That's something I'm very guilty of, funnily enough, with Escape. I've just started the one-to-one well-being chats with everyone, because we suddenly realised, I mean, Escape especially is being a well-being charity, and suddenly we went, oh, like you said, all the staff are stressed. Yeah, I tend to forget that. But then I do feel, you know, I do, part of what of doing the volunteering outside of the charities I work for does give me that. I do feel like it. It's just I forget to do, you know. You know what it's like, Stacey, mum of a teenager, you know, wife, you know, householder. I've got my in-laws who live with me, and unfortunately, you know, my father-in-law has Alzheimer's, so dealing with that, there's a lot of it. So I do tend to forget, but I do know that, like I said, pillar five is about giving, and at least I know I'm accomplishing that part of it.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we're all the same, aren't we? You know, I can't sit, I've had to have a wellness day, a day off, whatever you want to call it this week. So I'll give myself a migraine from podcasting so much, actually, I think. And Dom, you know, we were laughing before we came on air that normally Dom logs into these things and we're wondering which travel lodge he's in, because he's flying up and down the country. Dom, do you ever get a day off, Dom?
It's quite simple, but I think for me, I enjoy what I do. So, and actually the passion comes out. This is why we do this. And I was just going on from what Jill said. Actually, there's nothing, I don't think, if you imagine the amount of companies that do volunteering and they do their CSR, there is nothing better, and I know this because I talk to, when we have staff come in to work with us on our events, there is nothing better for them than actually seeing what we do. Than actually seeing the impact it has on the children. Jill said about, you know, or we said about the, well, I think Stacey said, where they had to go back to the house. Actually, they don't always realise the impact, especially if it's a big company, and they're giving money, or they're doing fundraising, or they're doing all these things. Actually, to be able to see the benefit of what goes on makes it all worthwhile. Yeah. And actually, that just adds massively to what they do. And the fact that, you know, we've worked with one of the charities I work with, we're fortunate, we have some big sponsors, but they come down, actually, they adore they adore the programs, they want to come back. You know, the amount of ones who said, just call me and I'll come down again. But actually, until you see the impact, I don't always think businesses realise the impact they do have. You know, and I just think that's for business, that's really important for them to go. We might have lots of employees, but actually, it only takes three or four of them to come down and see the impact it has, like the painting and all of this with new venues. Till you see that, I don't think a lot of people realise the impact it has.
Hi, my name is Chris. I am the Chief Monkey from Scruffy Monkey. We are a web design business based in Bolton. We offer web design and support packages with a particular niche on charities. We have over 200 clients throughout the UK, 40 plus of which are charities. We've been working with them for what, 9+ years now, and we really get what you guys are about. So we'd love to help you out. So please do get in touch. We also offer free web design audits where we'll just do a quick video recording of your website, what you can change, what you can adapt to help you tell your stories further. Feel free to connect with us on any social media channels at Scruffy Monkey DM, or check out our website, of course, at www.scruffymonkey.co.uk.
No, you're absolutely right. And actually, it's one of the really good things is making sure that you get the, you know, the directors, the managers, the team leaders down there as well. Yeah. Because it's all right for them to send their team and tick that box, but we want them. And I remember we did a previous charity I worked with. They were running a soup kitchen, and we used to do like where a corporate could come and take over the kitchen and cook the meal and feed the homeless or anyone that needed a food. And I remember one day the general manager of this corporate walked up to me and went, "Oh my God, there's two of my ex-employees out there. One left because they were escorted off the premises, let's say. The other left because mental health struggles, relationship breakdown." And he, you know, the general manager of this corporate, it affected him so much. He went out there and he said to this guy, "Let's get you sorted. There's a job waiting for you," you know, and that is life changing for that guy just by having. And I think it really hit home to that general manager as well, just how easy it is for somebody to suddenly go from, you know, perfect employee to I'm struggling and I need whatever charity it is, you know. So,
and I think that's the same with schools. The amount of schools that we work with in all different charities, actually, the biggest impact is when the head teacher comes.
Mm.
Or their teacher comes in and goes, "Now I see why we do what we do." Because otherwise, a lot of them will feel they're too busy doing other important stuff within school. But until you see head teachers come in and realise what they're involved with, and that's, for me, that's why it's really important that we always try and get the highest people we can to be involved in some even minute way. Mm. Just so they can see the impact.
Yeah.
And I that's think really
there's,
good
such a, there's such a difference from business and from sort of education that if we can try and do that, it just makes a much bigger impact because they're more likely to sign off than being involved.
Amazing.
You know, rather than a class teacher, that if you get the head to sign it off and they've seen it, perfect, because they know the impact it has.
There you go. So for all those charities listening, you need to head for the head honcho of a business. You need to find that CEO. You need to hunt them down and you need to get in front of them is what I would say. Jill, I'm almost scared to ask the next question, but it's like future plans. What have you got going on? Are you ever going to stop and slow down? What does it look like for you, for charities, for business?
Well, initially, because it was just my biz, I was just focused on my first aid at one point. Obviously, when the pandemic hit, that really affected my business. I just had to stop overnight, and it wasn't something like, I'm being self-employed. I wasn't furloughed. I had no income, so I had to do something. So getting involved with these organizations was a lifeline for me. So it's staying with them. And still working on my business is still almost giving back as well, because it's so important. Will I stop? At some point I'm going to die. So I suppose, yes. I don't think so. I was called a serial volunteer. So working with them, because I think that does give me my well-being. Carrying on my VASA role, which I only just started in October, it was funded by, they managed to get funding from the National Lottery. That's 5 years of funding. So, you know, it's there. But even if I carry it, so with my first aid, I am expanding to that well-being mental health training, which is really important to me, and to give that. But part of my social responsibility from the first aid side is I teach community groups and charity groups for free, because first aid training is expensive if you're doing the official ones. But one, I'm passionate about people learning CPR and how to save a life. But two, it's just getting out there and giving back, because that's my other giving back through my company as well as everything else. So am I going to stop? Probably no. Am I
changed? And what do you think? To be honest, if you'd have said, I'm going to stop next week, I'd have been shocked. Obviously, you know, you've got charity roles, you've got all those kinds of things. What do you think the future looks like for charities then? Because like you said, coming out of COVID, there was a lot of change that needed. What are you seeing from a charity point of view? Is it harder to find volunteers?
It is.
Is it harder for funding, for grants? I heard there's more people going for the same grants, and that's what charities are kind of almost fighting over the money pot now. So
they are. So yeah, so it is harder to get volunteers. It is a lot of struggle, and that's why getting businesses involved and having that CSR is really important. Funding, I think funders are looking for charities to work together. So the youth collective that we've managed to get set up, we did that because it was five charities working together for the benefit of the young people. So we had Escape Arts and Life Space, which are two I've mentioned because I was working and volunteering with them. We had New Meaning, which works with young people who are NEET, so not in education, and they're 16 to 24-year-olds. Warwickshire Pride, obviously, and iLeap, which is for young people with additional needs. So they managed to get additional funding because they're working together. And that's, I think, going forward, what grant makers want to see, that they want to see organisations who would be fighting for the same fund coming together as a collective and doing it that way. And then at least they're still giving money to essentially five groups to do the same work, and it's partnership working. And I think that's what it's all about now.
That's really interesting as well, because I've noticed, you know, I much prefer collaboration over competition. And I think even in the charity sector, I didn't realise there's actually quite a lot of competition. There's a lot of, you know, charities that really could, benefit from working with each other, and they don't. Now, whether that's a fear thing of, well, they're bigger than us and we're going to get swallowed, or whether it's, you know, oh, we do the same thing, so we're competitors. Yeah. I'd love to see the landscape kind of change, and exactly what you said, see more people working together for the benefit of those clients, customers, whatever. Dom, you're nodding your head. Are you experiencing this as well?
Completely agree. And I think for me, this is why this group was really important. Because ever since, even with my own business, if we have to look at funding, I'd rather go in with someone else. Because actually, it's not about competing. It's not about us being better than them or them being better than us. It's about actually what can we do together to make the best of this situation. And I think this is perfect. Completely agree in terms of the charities. There are so many charities that are competing for the same money. And actually, by thinking just a little bit more outside the box, they could come together and almost not be guaranteed the money, but have a better chance of receiving the funding. And I just think in terms of, and this, you know, this is part of what the group's about, right? How can we collaborate? How can we, if there's someone else working in schools, well, actually let's work with someone else who works in schools and look at what we can do together. Because again, that's what businesses want. That's what schools want. Okay, well, how is this going to make a difference to our children? Oh, actually, by doing it together, we can make a bigger impact on your children, and it'll be this and this, rather than two businesses going into the same head teacher and going, look, come from two different angles, we'll just work together. I've never understood. And I don't think it's an arrogance, but I think it's a bit of, there's reasons why charities are created. You know, I've been talking for a number of years about organising my own one, but actually I get to that point and go, there's so many charities out there. Why don't I help bring some of them together through my business or through whatever else we do? So actually, why am I creating another one just for the sake of creating, when there's people, there's already charities out there, and actually I can just work with them and go, right, we can do this programme. But actually, we'll do it as two or three organisations rather than me just creating another one and adding another charity to the pot to try and get the same funding. It makes absolutely no sense to me.
I can see this podcast miniseries. It's going to open up so many cans of worms, so many topics of conversations. I said we'd go for about 30 minutes and we're nearly at that point now. So I could talk all day to you two, to be honest. But I'm going to end asking Jill what her top tip is for charities. So if there's a charity listening, this could be anything, or how to get a business involved, something about marketing, something about volunteering. It can be absolutely any top tip, something you've learned, experienced. Go for it.
Oh, that's oh God, pressure.
That's putting you on the spot, isn't it?
Top tip is talk. Yeah, no, it's talk. I think Dom just said it. It's about talking to all the other organisations. I mean, I know we're running out of time, but in the pandemic in Stratford, we set up a Stratford support group to help the people, you know, with food deliveries and all of that. And we had loads of organisations involved. When that sort of everybody was able to go back out again, we kept the organisations talking together and we have monthly meetings. And it's talking to those people, and you know, Dom said about go to the top. That's what it is. All the people who come to these meetings are sort of the top. And in those meetings, somebody goes, oh, I need this. And somebody else will go, oh, I know what this is. And so it's that communication. Yeah. Talk to it. You may not realize that it's out there until you ask for it. So talk to people. Go to your business networking meetings. Like you said, when I went, I didn't have my first aid hat on. I had, you know, my charity hat on. But, you know, talking to other people, you might suddenly have that. So network, that's my top tip.
Love it.
Yes, that's brilliant. It's like you're in the right place, Jill, because if you didn't say network, I was going
Or if you didn't say, I would have done, because that's what we all do.
And actually, I know we're going off on it. I know we said that was going to be the last point, but so many charities are scared of networking or don't understand the reason why they should go out. You've been a networker for years, Jill. That's how we met, wasn't it? God, it must be over 10 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
Back in the day, it is scary.
And it's great. And it is scary, but yeah. But that's how valuable it is. And can I just say, you know, that networking meeting that I showed up to very fashionably late to the last 2 minutes, you know, seeing Brian there from the glass, I made him cry. I show up for 2 minutes and make somebody cry. Bless him. But you know, it's like I hadn't seen in a good way.
Yeah, it is
because
he'd
done a piece of art. You know, he'd done a piece of art for me that I commissioned for my father-in-law, and my father-in-law is the one who's now got dementia. But that piece of glass artwork makes a lot. So I've been talking to dementia charities and talking about Brian and his glasswork. So again, it's networking.
You just don't know where it's...
You don't.
When it's going to happen, you know, we talk about this in business networking all the time. Don't go chasing a sale, you know, just go and build those relationships. Yeah. That's how you can find volunteers with a charity. It's how you can find services. You know, it's how I ended up volunteering social media skills for a charity for about 7 years. So... yeah, I'm almost waiting for someone to come and grab me and say, right, Stacey Calder, we need you in a dark cupboard somewhere where you can sit behind the scenes. I shouldn't say this because my inbox will go bonkers.
But... Right, hang on, Stacey. I'm just sending you a message now. Hang on. I've thought of another idea.
On that note.
Can I just say, in terms of talk, we talk about mental well-being. We talk about all these things. And we know actually in our own mental well-being how important it is to be open and try and talk to someone. And just because actually, and it's the same with charities, what they don't realise is probably so many other charities are in the same boat. We all put stuff out. There's all this stuff on social media. If they follow group, they go, oh, they're amazing. They're doing so well. Actually, that's what they want people to see. That's what they want you to be able to see online. It's what we sometimes put out, a positive message and all these sort of things. But actually, talk to other charities, because I can guarantee, and you can hold me to this, there will be other charities in exactly the same boat as you. So if you're struggling for volunteers, there'll be another charity that's struggling for volunteers. So actually, we'll come together. Let's talk about, let's have a strategy now. Between 2, 3, 4 charities, right, what are we going to do about volunteering? And it is, volunteering is, it's one of the hardest things to get people to do because of everything that you said. So actually, don't feel you're on your own. There's this big thing about if we show we're vulnerable, it's a weakness. No, it's not.
No.
It's like men talking. It's like all these things. It's like anyone struggling with their own mental health and mental well-being. If we're open and we're vulnerable, it's not a weakness. And I just think it's really important that actually we make sure that charities are all, to me, charities are people. That's what they are. So actually, if they are struggling with certain things, reach out to us on here. This is what we want the community to
do. I nearly broke out into a song then, Dom, the whole reach.
I was
singing it.
It's fine. But that's what we need to be doing. This is what the community is going to be. If you are struggling, if there is an issue, reach out, because I tell you what, someone's already experienced it and someone's come up with a way to get through it.
That's a really interesting thought. And from me with my business hat on, I said the other day to someone, I feel, you know, you see it online, all this, I'm doing brilliant in my business, I've hit six figures, come and do this. I actually think you learn more from someone holding their hands up saying, do you know what, this is the challenge I've had this month, or I've lost X amount and this is how I've worked it back. I think you find so much more support when you're real, when you're honest. You know, I have this whole thing about real life social media, but exactly the same with charities. There are, like we've talked about some of the struggles today, actually by saying, this is what we're struggling with, we need X, Y, Z, people can say, do you know what, I can do that, I can make a difference, I can offer that, or I can't help with that, but do you need, and actually it makes people think, right, okay, how can I be more responsive to this charity? So definitely. No, I love it. That's what we're here for. Jill, you've been an awesome first guest on our mini series for the charity.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
I love the fact we're doing it. I just know the impact it's going to have. And if people are open and honest, and actually there are things going on, talk to us, talk to other people. And I just think this mini series will be more than just a mini series.
Yep. And on that note, Jill, where can people find you? This could be a long database now, but where's the best place?
Google me.
They want to get a hold of you regarding volunteering for one of your charities, or, you know, first aid, your business. Where's the best place for them to go?
If you Google me, I pop up all the time. You can check the town council.
I did that. Messaging your town council page that are like out of Stratford. So don't say that.
Oh, I've had that. Oh, yes. I have to say, just saying on that, it was when the pandemic was in and the jabs, you know, there was call for people to do, for St. John to have volunteers for jabbing. I went straight in, obviously, and did that. And I ended up just because of our local paper, because I was friends with one of the reporters. She contacted me and we did a little story. Before we knew it, I was on Good Morning Britain, BBC Radio 5, all the other Sky News, and I'm like, oh my God, so you can find me, which is scary. But yeah, look at you can find me on Stratford Town Council, Stratford Town Trust, on the Escape Arts website, my contact details on there. Any of that, you can go volunteer@escapearts.org.uk or volunteer@vasa.org.uk as two of the main charities that I'm with. So that's a good place to start. Or just Google Jill Cleave.
Just Google Jill Cleave, Stratford-upon-Avon. She'll be the first one that pops up. There we go.
Yes.
I feel like you need a personal brand website, Jill, just to get like Jill Cleave on, so that we can do that. I think we should go and check. Yes. Ooh, I think that's, there you go. That's my
There you go, Stacey. There's your job now. You did say.
I don't build websites, although I did do one last week for us. Anyway,
We don't go there.
Right. Now we're on 38 minutes. Hey. Thank you so much, Jill. You've been an absolute diamond as our first guest. Dom, obviously, you're our community leader. So if someone's listening to this and they want to go and connect with Dom, drop your activity connector stuff, and then I'm going to tell them where to find the Facebook community.
Yeah, so you can get hold of me on just type in Dominic Fenton on Facebook and I'll come up, or on LinkedIn, or theactivityconnector.com, and you'll be able to connect to me on that, on all the socials. So on X, on Instagram, on all the other
ones. You said it properly. You said X. I still
say I know. I still say Twitter, but I thought I'd...
You were doing it all professionally then, weren't you? Like, X, yes. And hello, I've been Stacey Calder at, obviously, businesssuccessnetwork.co.uk. You can go into the communities group if you're communities, into the charities community, if you're a charity, or if you are a business looking to support or work with charities, or you're a supplier to charities. And you can go onto Facebook, and if you search Business Success Network - charities, you will find us. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Thank you so much for being an amazing co-host, Dom and Jill, our first guest of the series. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, you've been listening to the Business Success Network podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please do go and check out all the other episodes that we offer. We've got a great range of guests that have gone before us and that are coming up. And if you want to get involved in the Business Success Network, you can find us at www.businesssuccessnetwork.co.uk. There's loads of ways you can get involved, whether that's from contributing to our business magazine, or whether that's getting involved in the podcast. We are here to showcase your expertise and help you to grow you and grow your business.